Hello, I'm Trevor Dan. On this week's Radio Today programme, a profile of Fun Kids Radio, news of the next radio conference, Roy Martin's return with the Radio Today news, and with our congratulations on his marriage last week to the lovely Paul, David Lloyd's Radio Moments. Here's our sit tune.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of Phonebox and Oasis. Welcome to the social studio.
Robot, I'm going to sign this half seven hooter and then you're getting out of that bunker, you hear?
I'm not coming out.
Robot, just because One Direction have had a little split, it's not the end of the world, mate. You don't need to hide in the bunker.
My world has fallen apart.
I think you're being melodramatic.
And then it's me, Charlotte, on Fun Kids Junior. What do you call a sleeping bull? A bulldozer!
Afternoon, it's Dan on Fun Kids. You're right. Did you also know, right, Will Smith, he's got this bit in any contract that he signs to make movies that means he can change the end of the film if he doesn't like it? I mean, just imagine it in, let's say, Harry Potter.
Hello! This is Bex in the club, and oh my goodness, what a show I've got lined up for you. It's Monday afternoon. And I thought I'd just make it awesome. We've got Movie Music Monday a little bit later on. I'll be chatting to Simon Reeves. Now, he's an explorer and an adventurer, and he's a pretty cool dude as well.
This is Josh, and we're going on to the Pop 7 at 7 now, where we go through the 7 coolest songs in the whole world in a chart-like way. It's good for me because it teaches me how to count down from 7, and it's good for you because it's full of good music.
All this only on Fun Kids.
So that, as we used to say, is the sound of Fun Kids, the digital station in London and all over the world online. It's a multi-platform experience. And I've got Sean here, Sean Thorne, who does The Breakfast Show, and the legend that is Matt Deegan, who... Do you call yourself programme controller or programme director or what the hell are you?
Normally, I suppose, programme director of
Programme director.
I think you'll just go for the legend that is permanently, yeah,
yes. No?
I think you'll
amidst take that. A portfolio of other things you do for Folder Media. So how much of your time, Matt, do you spend working on Fun Kids?
It varies depending on what's on. I think probably at the moment 2 to 3 days. We do a few things at Folder. We have a multiplex business. We make some shows for the BBC and do bits of work for other people. But Fun Kids is a very important part of what we do and a great opportunity for growth. And when you look at all of the different things we do, funnily enough, you know, advertising on the radio or advertising online is a very efficient way to make money. And so we need to put the right amount of time in to ensure that keeps going up.
Before we talk about what you do now, just give me a sentence or two on the background. Why is Fun Kids what it is?
So, old job, I used to be a strategy manager at What's Now Global.
So it's your fault then?
Sort of. I think it's Gregory's fault, my business partner. So he bid for a digital radio license in London, and we thought a kids station would be a great addition to that. The only person that was sort of doing kids radio was a woman called Susan Stranks. So she created a station called Abracadabra, which ran for a few... We won the license. That ran for a few years. She found that a difficult thing to run. And so we thought we would help her out and see if we could bring some money into that. In the end, it became oddly a three-way joint venture between Susan, GWR, as was, and Hit Entertainment, the Bob the Builder people. And then we'd left, actually, to set up Folder. And about 2 years into Folder, Global came and acquired what was then GCAP. And it was obvious that maybe Fun wasn't part of Ashley's brand strategy, which was okay. And one of our old colleagues said to us, why don't you buy Fun? Go on, it'd be really good. Now, at that point, my view was no. When we set up Folder, I said the one rule is that I didn't want to run a radio station because it would just distract everybody and is a very hard thing to do. That obviously went very well. And in the end...
You're like an old married couple, you and Gregory.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I'll marry you, but you're not going to football anymore.
Yes.
Yeah, what time does it kick off?
It's interesting. Gregory's background is finance, and so he loves radio, but has never really worked at a radio station. So what's in his head about what a radio station is and actually making one are quite different things. So when we set up Fun, the new version of Fun Radio, it was Fun Kids, I said, I'm not going to have the studio in our building. I'm not going to be responsible for presenters not turning up, loading selector in, master control going wrong, all that stuff. So what we do, and this is where we are today, we're an independent production company called Create, and they look after a lot of the day-to-day bits of Fun, so from audio loading to making production to looking after the studio side, and at our end, at the Folder end, marketing, strategy, sales, and planning.
So Sean here is your breakfast show host. Mm. So presumably you get in about 4:30 and do some prep every morning. Or not.
Thankfully, that's not the case.
You out there.
Exactly. I know that the spell's been broken. But the majority of the breakfast show, all of the breakfast shows are all pre-recorded and all voice-tracked. So it means that I can usually come in on a Sunday, and depending on how prepped and stuff I am for the whole week, that I can completely just get the whole week nailed, which is quite easy because Fun Kids, obviously not being a slave to the news agenda, as it were, we can fill in the gaps if any sort of big stories involving Zayn Malik or One Direction come
up. Well, that's true, but then there's a difference between news and topical, isn't there?
Yes, exactly.
So I guess if you're voice tracking, you can't talk about the weather or,
exactly,
I don't know, some of the big thing that just happened last night, you know, involving Taylor Swift.
Which is good for Fun Kids because we've got a lot of other pieces of content which we can use, and we can be imaginative with the stuff that we do. We can come up with storylines that are happening in the radio station between other presenters. So we don't always need to use the sort of things like the weather for content pieces, as it were.
And do you have another job?
Fun Kids is now my full-time job. I wouldn't say the breakfast show is my full-time job because we do a lot of other stuff as part of what I do for Fun Kids.
Well, this is the brand extension world, isn't
yes.
it? So being a, quote, DJ on exactly. a modern radio station like this involves a lot more than simply voice tracking a show.
Exactly. It's quite a small proportion of what I actually do at Fun Kids is actually the breakfast show. That's not to say that we don't put a lot of time into it, but in terms of what the do as a whole at Fun Kids is actually a smaller portion compared to other things.
So in this multi-platform world, yes. what else are you doing then apart from the radio show, which is simply a component of that thing?
So another big thing which we're working on at Fun Kids at the moment is our presence on YouTube and building up the channels that we've got here. At the moment, I'm working on a gaming channel. So a lot of time goes into I record the videos, create the videos and edit them myself, voice them and do all of the bits and pieces for that. And also as well, we do a lot of work with community stuff. I also do a lot of workshops at schools, which also involves planning those workshops and then running the workshops as well. So that's become quite a bigger part of my role at Fun Kids.
Now, Matt, some older people might say that you don't get the best out of Sean as a DJ because you're not exploiting his ability to broadcast live. But you've said to me before that you think actually some DJs are better because they don't have to sit and wait for the record to finish.
Yeah, I think there is a tyranny of waiting for songs to finish. And I just sort of see it as a massive waste of time and talent, really. So Funk is entirely voice tracked. I would challenge anyone to listen to it and it cross their minds that is it really? You know, we've got very good at it. If something big happens, a presenter just pops in and re-records a track. And we've had presenters do stuff at home and send it in on a phone and it gets dropped in if we really, really needed something. And again, it's completely imperceptible. I think for us, we want children to spend time with us. And we do that on the radio. And the radio is a brilliant, easy and actually relatively inexpensive way to reach vast numbers of people. A quarter of a million kids aged 7 to 15 tune to Fun each week. Another couple of 100,000 adults and younger kids tune in. It's a great platform, but it's not enough. So I want the website to be bigger. I want the YouTube channels to be there. We've got 100 podcast channels too. We want kids to spend time with us, and I don't care if that's radio, video, web. And we'll work really hard to make sure all of those things have the right amount of effort and talent in to do a good job.
What are the special challenges for you in having children as your audience? You know, let's not mention all those terrible old people who are in prison or even Uncle Mac. But, you know, over the years, radio hasn't been particularly kind in its treatment of the young audience.
But also, when we started, like normally for radio formats, you find someone in the world who's doing it well, copy it, and then evolve your own version. There was literally no one to copy when we started Fun, and it has evolved based on our own experiences with our audiences, which is a scary and amazing place to be. Our audience are ruthless if they don't like something, much more than any other audience. And whether it's research we've done or kind of in-home studies, they are dancing off somewhere else. They're changing the channel. They're putting YouTube on. And so we have to work even harder to keep them. And then the annoying children then grow up and then disappear off when they're 12, 13, 14, and you've got to do the same thing with a load of new people.
So you lose your audience even quicker than a BBC local radio station.
You might say that. I couldn't possibly comment. But what it does mean is that we can repeat some things which work well for audiences in the past. So that's good. I think the other side of it is you just have to keep going and really, really think about it. And that audience and what they're interested in changes. And Sean, we were chatting earlier about your cousin's kids.
Yeah, my cousin's got young kids at 9 and 6, and they're sort of my guinea pigs for when I've got any new ideas. So if I sit them down, I go through something with them, and then there's no response for them, then that gets binned off straight away. But if you get a response out of it, then they're right, that's going in the breakfast show. And they're perfect for me to then know what kids are up to, what they're really into, what they're listening to as well. It's perfect.
And does it have to be a music radio station just for cost, or is recycling songs what little kids want? I mean, others would say they want stories and games and
so
a richer output.
We're probably 10 to 15 minutes an hour of speech. So that's a combination of presenter links and also pre-built features. So that can be stories, that can be kind of audiobook style stories. We make a huge amount of speech-based factual content each month that goes on the radio station, and that might be repeated in different day parts or in different times.
It stays online, I guess.
Absolutely stays online. There's a podcast channel for every feature series we've made, and some of that stuff's evergreen, and some of it's amazing, and some of it's good, and we will kind of rotate that as we see fit. So it's definitely a broader experience than pure songs. But it's maybe the same length of song as song, so they are 3-minute bits of speech and content. And you know what? If it's something that someone's not interested in, there will be a One Direction or Frozen song along pretty soon after for
and
them.
Just in terms of the music, for those who haven't heard it, I mean, how many songs do you play compared to a typical, let's say, Hit 40 station?
I wouldn't know what is the repertoire. It's broader. So we have like a traditional radio station, there's an A, B and a C list of contemporary songs. There'll be a decent-ish crossover with Capital and Kiss and the hits. On the pop end, we're a bit more tight on lyrical content.
That's a good thing.
Yes, but sometimes it means great songs you can't use and great pop songs you can't use. And so there's some judicious editing to try and get some big songs on the radio. And then there's the back catalogue, which will be particularly a Disney material, whether that's Lion King or Frozen songs. There's quite a lot of songs for kids that are upbeat and contemporary, and for us they need to sound modern records.
So you wouldn't play Nelly the Elephant or Bob the Builder?
So in the middle of the day we have a preschool section called Fun Kids Junior, and Bob the Builder would make it, though Nelly the Elephant wouldn't.
Poor Nelly.
That's a shame for Nelly, isn't it, Sean? Can you have a word?
She needs to get with it and then come back with a dance version.
She needs to go next.
It'd be on.
Right, that's a challenge for anyone listening to this podcast.
Very happy
to... If you send me a remix of Nelly the Elephant, it'll go on the breakfast show, all right?
Correct.
So musically, some crossover. It's probably a bit broader than a traditional pop station would be, but we're more CHR in feel than probably anything else.
You were talking earlier to me before we switched on about metrics, how you measure your success, because it's not as easy as how we're doing in Radar in your world. And I just wonder how you judge what really matters. You know, is it listeners' emails? Is it number of views to YouTube? Is it number of listens or engagements or all these kind of modern words that are used? What matters most to you when you sit down every week and say, how are we doing?
So the boring answer is, so it's difficult for us to be on Radar because it doesn't measure under 10s. And obviously our audience, quite a lot of them are under 10. So we're part of TGI Youth. So TGI Study's been around forever. Agencies have it. They can benchmark us against the TV channels, kids' magazines. And so for money, TGI box ticking, which is a questionnaire-based study for quite a lot of preteens, is what we use. Then the digital side, I look at our internet streaming concurrent number. So I have a little chart every day that shows when and where they're coming in. So at the moment, so normally for Sean, his breakfast peaks 7:55 in the morning, which kind of makes sense. However, because it's summer holiday time, that's gone 1 hour later to 8:55, which is why the breakfast show has shifted to be an hour longer. So we look at that, and that's the kind of, I'd say that's a traditional sort of broadcast metric. Then we definitely look at views and subscribers, but actually we look at time spent consuming those videos. So what is the total amount of minutes consumed which is, I think, more of a quality number than just what a view count or a subscriber count is. You know, if we have an interview with Taylor Swift and put it on YouTube, of course it'll get a million views. They won't convert to be Fun Kids listeners. If Sean builds his gaming channel, there are people who are coming to a Fun Kids owned bit of content. And the other thing is we look at podcast downloads as well. And all that stuff to see how we're doing, but clearly for advertisers, those metrics are important. But we book a lot of money that isn't through the radio teams of agencies. And those digital teams are more than happy to look at streaming data, downloads, views, web impressions, that kind of stuff. And so we make sure that's decent numbers.
Now, you're better placed than most people to consider the whole issue of getting young people to listen to the radio. We've all been at conferences, haven't we, for 30 years, being told that they don't like the radio and there won't be any radio in the future because we can't get kids involved. I guess you're there actually at the vanguard of this. So very simply, Sean, what do they like?
So we're, one of the things when we did the workshops in schools was, again, another amazing chance to find out what are the kids into. And one of the main things at the moment is like YouTubers. My good gauge was like, if I went to my cousins or if I went to someone, like, I interviewed Johnny Depp, they'd be like, oh, that's quite cool. If I said I interviewed Dan TDM, who's a big YouTuber, they would go, absolutely, they'd lose it. So it's sort of gauging that those are the new celebrities for kids. So it is things like YouTubers. Obviously, Radio 1 have sort of gone with that with the YouTuber show. But it's also finding the new ways for the kids to then interact with the radio. We do a lot of work with the online game Bin Weevils, where they can listen to the radio through that online game. So they can go to a section in that game, in the shopping mall, there's a radio, and they can listen to the station there. We do work with an app called Pop Jam, which is like a kid's version of Instagram. So we were also quite good presence on that, and it's finding these new ways to interact with kids, which I think is the key part, because again, the thing that they like, and to go back to your main question, is they are constantly on the internet. It is the apps, it is the iPad, it is all those sort of things. So it's sort of thinking like, right, how do we sit in with that routine?
In one sense, you're multi-platform. In another sense, I guess you could argue that you're platform neutral in that you are everywhere.
Absolutely.
And I guess from the narrow perspective of a radio company, which you're not, but many people listening to this work for, this is all quite good news, because as long as we making radio can stay in all these places where people might want to find us, then the future is orange, I guess.
You've got to provide content that people want to get.
It doesn't, in places where it's suitable.
And where they are and where they live. I think the radio's constant moaning about, oh, why don't young people listen to the radio? I think the answer is incredibly simple. The radio industry makes no radio stations for young people. Therefore, young people don't listen to the radio. So there's us. And, you know, I think it's in some ways a bit disappointing that an independent company is doing the heavy lifting of the youth end. The Hits do a great job as the Bauer 3 network now. I think they're in that teenage space. And obviously Radio 1 do something. Now, Kiss and Capital a little bit as well. But where is the media? And this is telly as well. Where is the media for a 7 to 12-year-old group or an 11 to 15-year-old group? And the answer is there isn't one. So on telly, in my day, from T4 was a great example, or Trouble, do you remember the Trouble TV channel? The reason kids are watching YouTube, no TV is made.
There is no terrestrial television or satellite television for them, is there?
And the same for younger.
But isn't that the advertising agency's fault? Because they told all the companies that did start, albeit in television, actually, we can't sell this stuff.
Well, you've got to work out what the money is and whether you can afford to make the product. I mean, I think what's interesting is the YouTube channels are making loads of money from people who want to reach their audiences. Now, those cost bases are different. And the same, you know, we have built Fun Kids to be a non-traditional radio station with how we run it, so that the income that comes in for whatever platforms clearly pays for it. And it's a profitable entity, has been for a few years. But yeah, radio complaining about younger listeners, well, it should make some products for them. And if they don't, then they are going to be messed up. And as people go into their 20s, no, of course not going to have radio as a habit because they haven't grown up with it. There was an interesting line in, I think, the Radio Centre's recent document about working with the BBC to do some research projects on teens, which I think is essential. And why shouldn't we start making BBC and commercial together content for that audience to have a stake in the ground to keep them in a radio world?
Well, that's a speech with which to end any podcast, I think. Matt. Very good. I was wondering, Sean, if Robot is around. He's Robot's your double around. Act for those
yeah,
who don't
yeah, yeah.
know.
I can give him a shout if you'd like. I wondered since you asked so nicely.
I wondered if Robot might be available to introduce the news by Roy Martin.
Oh, can Robot will be up for that. Yeah. Let me just have a quick word.
Have a word and see if that's feasible.
I'm just going to see if I can catch it. Yeah, he's thumbs up. He's up for that, I think. Go on, Robot. I'll sort you out a minute, mate.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
And now the news with Roy Martin.
Thank you, Robot. UTV has confirmed it's in talks to sell its television assets. If this happens, we'll either see complete exit from the radio industry by UTV, or the company could use the money to grow bigger and better in the radio industry. Exciting times ahead, either way. Global has been found in breach for its Good News feature, which ran on most of its radio stations on June the 8th this year. Putting a sponsor credit at the end of a news bulletin, then continuing to provide news, good or bad, is of course against the rules. And the Radio Production Awards are back for 2015. If you'd like to find out more, or indeed enter, then see radioproductionawards.co.uk. That's the very latest from Radio Today. I'm Roy Martin.
Broadcast Bionics, creators of Phonebox and Oasis, offer you elegantly integrated products and intelligent one-stop shopping for all your studio needs. Discover a full range of innovative studio products. Play out by Wide Orbit, Music Master Scheduling, Stirlitz, NewsBoss, Larvo, Telos, Axia, Omnia, Digigram and Commotion. Visit bionics.co.uk today.
Do I get paid extra for this?
Oh, that was good. In fact, that was so good. I think we'll get Robot to do the outro to the entire podcast in a minute. But before we hear from David Lloyd, Matt is still here. You're organising Next Radio, as you always do, with James Cridland. Tickets seem to be selling very well, although you wouldn't say anything different. Highlights you're looking forward to?
So September the 14th in London, Next Radio. It's our fifth year this year. It's amazing. It's really great lineup this year. Most speakers ever, 28. I'm going to have to get some more microphones to cope with the turnaround that we're going to have. Jonathan Wall from 5Live, he's speaking. Some interesting stuff from Valerie Geller. If you ever come across Valerie, he's coming over from New York, which should be brilliant. Got the guys from 7 Digital, so what used to be Unique, that combine with a music streaming company, and they're talking about what radio can learn from the data that comes from music streaming, I think, which is going to be sort of fascinating. We've got Brett Spencer from Radio 2 and 6 Music talking about pop-up radio stations and how they work. Tim Cocker from XFM Manchester talking about a viral video. And we just announced that Ian Collins from LBC is going to be doing a session with Facebook's Will Guyett talking about some of the stuff you can do on Facebook. So, I mean, just fascinating. The whole lineup of speakers is online, of course. If you just search for Next Radio Conference, it'll come up and tell you all about it.
No panels.
No panels.
No suits.
No suits. 9 minutes or 18 minute sessions. Brett once described it as relentless. And
so
it's going to be a great event. Tickets on sale now.
Be there or
don't be there.
Don't be there. Okay, let's have some David Lloyd now then.
Radio Moment.
We start this week with a 45th anniversary and a station which was to become the home of Kate AD, Tony Robinson and Michael Burke.
This is BBC Radio Bristol. Here's Frank Gillard, the man who brought local radio to this country. This is a little moment of history in British broadcasting. BBC Radio Bristol, the first of a new generation of local radio stations, is coming on the air. People will listen with appreciation to recordings of this opening day and say with real interest, well, that's how it all began.
Well, that's how it all began, BBC Radio Bristol launching this week in 1970. And that very same week, a station was launched which was to become a training ground for so many broadcasters.
Jimmy Cliff's Suffering in the Land, and here we are at sort of 20 past six, and nothing sort of major has gone wrong yet. I can't see. My trousers on fire, but I shouldn't worry about that. If I were you, that's my problem. We got our next number one sound on UBN for you. Smokey Robinson.
Oh, yeah.
And Tears of a Clown.
Now, if there's a smile. In those days, if you missed the vocal, you died. The early moments of UBN this week in 1970, Biscuit Factory Radio. It was to provide an early home for Dale Winton, Adrian Love, Roger Scott, Nicky Horn, and Graham Dean. This week, 16 years ago, a new voice on Key Breakfast.
Alison Williams, good morning, Key 103, Tuesday morning. Hope you had a good weekend. I had a fantastic weekend. Lots of sleep, a bit of decorating, watched a few videos. I found another excuse so I didn't have to cut the grass. And I managed to back the car into the brick wall yesterday, but it's all part of growing up and being British, isn't it? Yes, indeed it is.
Indeed it is. Steve Penk beginning on Breakfast this week in 1989 at Key 103 in Manchester. A radio brand which began this week the year before.
Now it's time.
I don't believe it. How did he get here?
Now you're going to get it.
At the beginning in 1936, all that we had was a biscuit tin full of spare parts.
Groovy. This.
The thing has a constant impulse to move forward.
Is this really for me?
Key.
Piccadilly's FM changing its name to Key 103. Music, not music, this week in 1988. Another brand change in 91 this week. Pennine Radio in Bradford.
So if you've just turned your radio on and you wonder what on earth is happening, we are the Pulse, playing all hits all day. It's day one. I'm Elliot Webb. If you have just found us, don't dare leave us, because do you realise you are now part of the UK's newest and most exciting radio station?
Pennine becomes Pulse this week 24 years ago. Brand changes are nothing new, really, but when you do them, you have to make things very clear.
This is Network 3. I'll repeat that. This is Network 3. It's something new in sound broadcasting. In fact, it's the first time that these words have been heard on the air. They mark the beginning of a new BBC service, quite different from anything we've done or experienced in past years.
Network 3, renamed the Third Network this week in 1964. She's 74 years old this week. She spent 15 years on Woman's Hour and 18 years on the Today programme.
Part of Today, I suppose, is entertaining people as well as enlightening them. But the great thing about working on Today is that you work with a partner. And if listeners don't particularly like my style, they can wait for John Humphreys or Jim Nocturne.
Happy 74th to Sue McGregor. 1993 now, and bad news for LBC.
It's 9 o'clock. This is Jonathan Staples. LBC has lost its licence to broadcast to London. The Radio Authority, which regulates the country's independent radio network, has decided not to renew LBC's franchise for its two frequencies.
Now, let's look on the bright side of things. Certainly, we have 13 months to go, because whatever happens, our franchise does not run out until October of next year. So, we've got 13 months to go. Now, how you can help? There are petition forms in our reception area which you can sign, or you can write a letter of support for LBC, just put it in your own words, how much you'll miss us, to our chairman, who is a very well-known name, unforgettable name, Dame Shirley Porter.
22 years ago this week, and the original LBC company lost its licence, being replaced by London News Radio. More cheerful news for commercial radio this week, 25 years ago, the launch, at last, of KISS in London.
This is Gordon Mack. There are no words to express the way I feel at this moment, so with your permission, I'd just like to get something out of my system altogether. Rihanna! Yay! Yay! Welcome, London.
The first KISS this week in 1990. So, with the launch of Southern Sound 32 years ago...
Tune into Southern Sound and join the family.
The end of Radio Veronica 41 years ago...
Bij het afscheid nemen van Veronica sterfde ook een beetje de democratie in Nederland. Dat spijt me voor Nederland.
The death of Simon D 6 years ago...
You're tuned to Radio Caroline on 199, your all-day music station.
Tony Blackburn taking over the top 40 36 years ago...
Back we go to the top 40 here on Radio 1.
Century Radio in the Northeast, later Real, now Heart, launching 21 years ago...
It's 7 a.m. and a star is born.
And commercial radio arriving in Leeds 34 years ago...
Good morning, you're listening to Radio Air, the new independent local radio station for West Yorkshire.
Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Radio Moments!
OK, big up to David Lloyd, Roy Martin, Matt Deegan, whoever he is, and my co-host, Sean. What a man. This has been a CBC production. Robot out.
The Radio Today programme with broadcast Bionics.